check. Okay, so OBS says we're good. But YouTube, not a fan. Oh. Okay, I don't get what just happened, but we're good now. Hello, nerds. yeah, so that was really annoying, and I apologize for the hiccup, but we're up and running now. So welcome to another live episode of The Week in Nerddom, or whichever you're listening to in post. I'm not going to do that. All right. So we're just going to jump right into news because it looks like the active stream is struggling. So we're going off of the VOD. I don't know why I have such issues, but yeah, I'm just going to roll with it. So diving right into the news. So let's start scrolling, shall we? We have got Doctor Strange, Empire Magazine covers. Nah, I'm good. Deadpool 3 update. Here we go. So Deadpool 3, according to... Oh, this comes from Ryan Reynolds directly? All right, so the article is as follows. Deadpool 3 is moving forward as it is learned that Sean Levy, or Levy, I think, is in talks to direct Ryan Reynolds in the third movie, which will also see the return of the original writers from the first two flicks. Hollywood Reporter, that's where this is coming from. Hollywood Reporter reports that Sean Levy is in negotiations to team up with Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool 3, which follows the pair's collaboration for Free Guy and their recent Netflix movie The Atom Project, which as I was getting ready for this to start, I saw that it was live, and yeah, I am a little bummed that I haven't watched it yet because I didn't realize it was quite live just yet. Anyway, so it's also announced that screenwriters Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick are returning to the franchise after working on the first two films. They were originally going to be axed for this one by Wendy Molyneux and Lizzie Molyneux Loughlin, who work on Bob's Burgers. But I guess we're going to get to that. So Ryan Reynolds has confirmed this news. Ryan Reynolds says on Twitter, "Third film by Sean Levy trilogy will be a tad more stabby." Interesting. What is the picture on his Twitter show? Because Cosmic Book doesn't show it to me, so we're going to open that in a new tab. And for the folks playing the home game, if my computer will ever load, it's really unfortunate how much RAM Firefox uses. Not going to lie. Okay, so we'll be a tad more stabby is the tweet. And it looks like this is... Oh, it's a picture of of Adam and Free Guy and Deadpool in the forest, what looks like from the Adam Project. So nothing crazy. Deadpool 3 was announced as happening in the MCU. It was reported that Wendy Molyneux and Lizzie Molyneux Loughlin, known for the animated series Bob Burgers, were writing Deadpool 3, and the original writers were out. However, THR report says Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick are now writing Deadpool 3 script, and that the Molyneux sisters previously worked on the script for the third installment of the franchise. So obviously it means Reynolds wanted his original writers back. The Molyneux sisters script didn't live up to expectations. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the fandom called that one. Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool also happen to be speculated to be appearing in May's Doctor Strange Multiverse Madness, so that may be a way of adding Deadpool to the MCU. And technically, Ryan Reynolds and Rick with the Mouth are already part of the MCU, you know, the Deadpool core thing. That's, now we're just getting into fluff for the article, but the meat and potatoes here is that Shawn Levy is potentially going to be directing, and we got Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick back as the writing staff with Ryan Reynolds. So win, win, win all around. Because Fall Guy was a lot of fun, not gonna lie, or Free Guy rather. Discovery stockholders approve acquisition of Warner Media. Ooh, this could have larger implications. Let's check this out. So, again, taking forever to load because my computer's a little bogged down running all this crap. Anyway, Discovery announced on Friday that its stockholders have approved the acquisition of Warner Media, which also includes the DC movie brand, TV, and DC Comics. The acquisition of Warner Media plus Discovery is said to be worth $43 billion. It's currently unknown what changes, if any, will take place on both sides, but the below press release states the deal will go through early in the second quarter of 22. So we'll know sometime around April or May. So the press release is as follows. See, I like doing the live news because then I can read these press releases, because it's hard working off of notes and getting the entire press release without bumping a bunch of stuff off the notes. So New York, March 11th, 2022, Discovery Inc., NASDAQ, DISCA, DISCB, and DISCK. Today announced that the company's stockholders have approved various matters relating to the acquisition of Warner Media from AT&T to create Warner Brothers Discovery Incorporated, a premier global entertainment company. The transaction will bring together Warner Media's premium entertainment, sports, and news assets with Discovery's leading nonfiction and international entertainment and sports businesses. At the special meeting of Discovery stockholders held earlier today, based on the estimated preliminary voting results, Discovery stockholders voted to approve the charter amendment proposals, share issuance proposal, and the advisory non-binding compensation proposal. The approvals mark the completion of one of the few remaining closing conditions for the merger. These preliminary voting results will be updated through the filing of a current report on Form 8K to reflect final certification of results of the Inspector of Election. The acquisition is expected to close early in the second quarter of 22, subject to other customary closing conditions. Those other customary closing conditions, generally speaking, are the government. The boards of directors of both AT&T and Discovery have approved the transaction. So this could be the reason why we won't be seeing another Injustice game from the likes of NetherRealm for a little while, because they're waiting on the dust to settle from this. This also could be the beginning of the end for DC Comics as we know it, because they have long been not, they haven't been making the company money for a while. So with this merger, Discovery might see that and just start to shave off parts of the DC company. And then if for those of you playing the video game, you're seeing along the side here, Warner could be sold to Disney, joining DC and Warner Brothers could be sold to Disney, but that's not going to happen. But yeah, very interesting with that one. Continuing on, first look at Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus series. Oh, so the Obi-Wan trailer launched as I was uploading this week's regular episode, so that stinks. We're going to have to throw that on, I think. Kraven the Hunter casts Christopher Abbott as main villain. We haven't been down this far yet. Yeah, yes, we have, because the Batman spinoff, The Penguin, is a go at HBO Max. Yeah, because the Batman's raking in the money. First look at Tom Hanks in Pinocchio for Disney Plus. Oh, no, we haven't read this. All right, so let's go back to... we're not there yet. First look at Darth Vader. We're just going to take a look at this real quick, because I'm curious. Hayden Christensen as the Sith Lord on set. Oh, these are the entertainment. Oh, it's just one shot. Whatever. Clickbait, and I got sucked into it. That's unfortunate. All right, Moon Knight debuts featurette and posters. HBO Max releases The Informant trailer for new spy series. Batman and DC launch NFT trading cards. Oh, this is unfortunate. It makes me sad to see the proliferation of NFTs still, even though we know how broken the inherent system is that they're built on. Carta Mundi Group, the worldwide leader of playing cards, and Warner Brothers Consumer Products, on behalf of DC, are today launching a DC hybrid trading quote, DC hybrid trading cards by HRO.
Oh no, my battery is dying. I need to plug it in.
Okay. Using the HRO app, a new platform that combines the physical and digital world, fans will be able to unlock DC Multiverse and collect, trade, and buy the first ever DC-based hybrid NFT trading cards featuring their favorite DC superheroes and supervillains, including DC characters from new Warner Brothers Pictures Epic. Blah, 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 blah. And then they're going to try and convince you that NFTs are, in fact, worth losing money over. And they're not. Speculative markets are never worth losing money over. All right, so unless, of course, you have a bunch of it to lose, in which case then you're probably going to make money because you're going to have the money to lose. You can invest and then sucker other people to lose money in it and take their money and leave. Kraven the Hunter cast Christopher Abbott. That's right. That's where we're going next. Casting announcement for Kraven the Hunter. Found its main villain. Christopher Abbott will play the Foreigner. I am not familiar with that character, actually. In the comic books, Foreigner has no superpowers, but is a highly intelligent assassin and mercenary who is also a master of disguise. Foreigner also happened to be married to the mercenary known as Silver Sable, who we see a lot in Spider-Man. And he came to New York City to make a name for himself, where he made a reputation for himself in the criminal underworld, which led to Foreigner becoming a major player in organized crime in New York, leading to run-ins with Spiderman. Christopher Abbott is known for George Clooney's Catch-22 TV series The Sinner and Girls. Previously, it was announced that Alessandro Nivola will be the villain in the movie, so it seems as if Aaron Taylor Johnson's Kraven will take on more than one bad guy in the flick. Makes sense. That's the way Marvel does things. I would imagine that Sony will also be doing things in a similar fashion. And then we have some pictures of the Foreigner, and we're moving right along. She-Hulk reveals first look at Tatiana Maslany in her mean green form. Batman spinoff The Penguin is a go at HBO Max. We already knew this. First look at Tom Hanks in Pinocchio. Star Trek Strange New World trailer stars Anson Mount. I saw this also launched. What day is it? The 9th. So 2 days. Yeah, also came out the day I posted the last episode. Unfortunate. Begin streaming on May 5th. Paramount Plus Streaming Network has released the trailer for Star Trek Strange New Worlds. This is flying in the face of all of those quote-unquote fanboys who are trying to say that there's trouble a-brewing in the Star Trek waters and that these shows aren't actually going to happen. But then we get trailers and shut those rumors down. So this is kind of a refutation of rumors. So the series will feature fan favorites from season 2 of Star Trek Discovery: Anson Mount as Captain Christopher Pike, Rebecca Romijn as Number One, and Ethan Peck as Science Officer Spock. The series will follow Captain Pike, Science Officer Spock, and Number One in the years before Captain Kirk boarded the USS Enterprise as they explore new worlds around the galaxy. And then there's the trailer. Which, again, since this is live stream, or if you're listening in post, this is taken from a live stream. We're not going to actually do the trailer because that's too sticky in a live stream. If it was a pre-recorded situation, it would be a different scenario, but it is what it is. Quantum Leap reboot cast non-binary and female series regulars. Who cares? DC release dates change: Black Adam, The Flash, Aquaman 2, and Shazam 2. Let's check out the new release dates. All right. Updated release date schedule for DC include DC League of Super Pets, May 20th. From May 20th to July 29th. Black Adam moves from July 29th to October 21st. Flash moves from November 4th to June 23rd of 2023. Aquaman The Lost Kingdom moves from December of this year to March 17th of 2023. This is just Warner Brothers, not DC. Wonka moves from March 17th of 23 to December 15th of 23. The next Shazam movie moves from June 2nd of 23. Oh, interesting. Moves up by a lot. From June 2nd of 2023 to December 16th of this year. Weird. All right. And then The Meg 2, The Trench, also strange. Why would that movie get a sequel? Has been set for August 4th release date. Why the change? It's currently unknown why the release dates have shifted, but what Cosmic Book News finds interesting is that The Flash will now be the last movie to be released, which I think is because a big DC reboot is definitely happening. According to rumors, that is the story. Dwayne Johnson made the announcement about the Black Adam release date a couple of hours ago, so when this was posted yesterday, 2 days ago rather. Alongside DC League of Super Pets, as Johnson and his team are producing both flicks. So update. Insiders filled in THR. The reason for the release date changes is because COVID delayed visual effects on some of the fills, thus the shifts, quote unquote. Update number two is another possibility for the shift could be because of Marvel movies such as Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, getting released in May, Thor, Love and Thunder in July, and Black Panther, Wakanda Forever in November. Disney also releasing Avatar 2 in December. So, yeah, that would make sense. But also probably makes a little bit of sense that The Flash is the last one, because that's going to be the one that supposedly does some sort of soft and or hard reboot of the DC movie universe. So not going to call it the DC Extended Universe, because that was a Snyder thing. So that's just kind of the alternate word for the Snyderverse. And we know that's not a thing anymore. So Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer. Yep, there it is. Florence Pugh in talks for Dune Part 2. And then new Marvel Daredevil Charlie Cox project rumored. Let's check this out. Oh, we did see this. Charlie Cox currently in the works. That's the rumor. Yeah, nothing. Just rumor and speculation based on people who may or may not actually be related to the project. Spiky-haired Henry Cavill in Argyle, huh? Quantum Leap reboot cast Ernie Hudson. Oh, that's fun. He would be a fun choice for the new Al as well. Batman may hint at a Bane. What? Oh, because of the Venom that he... All right, so if you haven't seen Batman yet, then you live under a rock. But spoiler alert ahead, just fair warning. The end of Batman, when the Riddler floods Gotham City, Batman is fighting the Riddler's army in the arena, which I haven't posted it yet, but I'm going to be posting my Batman review, and that is the part of the movie that I had a fair amount of issues with, because it honestly doesn't need to happen. But anyway... Due to getting shot point blank with shotgun blast to the chest, Batman is pretty much out of it and can do nothing. So in order to save Catwoman's life, Batman injects himself with something, a green liquid, which brings Batman back to life, for lack of a better description. He goes ape poop on the bad guy that was going to kill Catwoman, yes. Which could be a strain of Venom. That makes sense. That would be crazy cool to have Bautista as Venom. He would be a really good Venom. Regardless of how you feel about him and his personal politics, he would be a great Venom, especially in that Batman universe. That would be really cool. God of War live action. All right, now we are repeating ourselves. So let's move right along to our next ridiculous source. Shout outs to the non-dairy milk drinkers. Let's check vitality for everything while this loads up. YouTube is not receiving enough video because YouTube is a jerk. So, yeah. All right. Let's get back to the news. Okay, everything's loaded up. We got to click one more thing to move right along. Moving into We Got This Covered, because usually we can cycle pretty quickly through this. Oscars presenter lineup, nobody cares. Matthias Schweighofer is joining the Oppenheimer cast because, hey, who hasn't? I mean, that is a valid statement. Marvel recently filmed a mystery production in Iceland. Really? I don't know if I buy that, but let's continue on. Let's look into this one, shall we? Mystery Marvel production in Iceland. Marvel Studios reportedly filmed a mystery production in the country of Iceland last month. Production was codenamed Safari, according to Cosmic Circus. The shoot was fairly large, with reports that the studio took over 3 hotels during early February. The crew shot around Lake, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that word, a volcanic lake in northern Iceland that had to get permits to film in the area due to it being environmentally protected habitat, home to many unique species of animals and flora and fauna, perhaps. Excuse me. Cosmic Circus said that it confirmed the permits and that Marvel was also filming near the river Laxa. Take a look in the area of the Guide to Iceland. Marvel teamed up with True North Productions on the shoot. True North has a history with Marvel and previously collaborated with the studio on Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, Black Widow, Avengers Endgame, and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. True North used artificial snow and sled dogs during the shoot, as well as snowmobiles and turbines. Marvel also needed a helicopter and drone shots, and were fortunate that the protected birds in the area fly away for the winter, allowing their permit to be granted. The big mystery, of course, is what exactly was Marvel shooting in Iceland? Is Safari just a code name that means nothing, or is it a hint? Could it be related to Kraven the Hunter, Spider-Man Universe? It wouldn't be Marvel then, it would be Sony if it was related to Kraven and or Spider-Man. Reshoots for something already in the pipeline. The rest of this is speculation. So yeah, speculative at best. Movie Insider claims door is still open for Ben Affleck to return as Batman in DCEU. He's already returning for at least one more movie. So that's rumor, but that's interesting rumor. Let's check out the Elvira. Ow, poop. Whatever. Checking out Elvira. Schlocky horror movie fans will be rejoicing since director Rob Zombie has confirmed longtime rumors that the Mistress of Dark herself, Elvira, aka Cassandra Peterson, will be appearing in his reboot of 60s horror and spoof sitcom The Munsters. Zombie has posted the first look at Peterson on the Munsters set, and it is safe to say that she is getting out of her wheelhouse for her new role. Instagram post made Friday, Zombie revealed Peterson will feature in The Munsters as Mockingbird Heights' number one real estate agent, Barbara Carr. Yes, the Mistress of Dark has joined the cast of The Munsters, Zombie wrote in the post's caption. Peterson will join an already swelling cast, includes Richard Drake as Dr. Henry Augustus, Wolfgang, Sylvester McCoy as Igor, Catherine Schell as Zoya Krupp, Jorge Garcia as Floop, Munsters themselves will be portrayed by Daniel Robick. Roebuck, rather, as Grandpa Munster, Jeff Daniel Phillips as Father Herman Munster, Sherry Moon Zombie as Mother Lily Munster, and in the roles originated by Al Lewis and Ed Gwynn, Yvonne DiCarlo, respectively. Also should be noted that the rating that they're going for is PG for this one, so if you were speculating that they were going to somehow turn the Munsters into an R-rated movie, that does not appear to be the case. The rest of this is fluff, so we're going to move right along. Oops, clicking the wrong thing. All right, so the Batman, you can now download Riddler's evidence files. Oh, that's cool. Not going to look into it any further than the headline, but that's cool. Alec Baldwin still playing Tap and Dance because he doesn't want to be blamed for the death of somebody, which is unfortunate because it was his fault. Let's move. Oh, this is all still from the 11th. Dune writer teases an entire cinematic universe. Wouldn't that be amazing? I think that would be fantastic. Batman fans uncover surprising connection to Jim Carrey's Riddler. This might be grasping at straws, but we're going to go into this one, I think. Batman offers bold at blah, 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 blah. Get to the meat of it. As Twitter user Gus Lives Again noted on Twitter in a tweet that quickly went viral, the distinctive transparent framed glasses worn by Batman's Riddler are actually a callback to an identical pair worn by Carrie's Edward Nigma. Carrie wears them prior to his transformation into the costume criminal in the early part of Joel Schumacher's 1995 camp classic. Classic might be a little bit of a strong word. Dano, meanwhile, keeps the specs on whether in or out of the Riddler guise. That's interesting. Let's see what the picture looks like and see if it is legit. So, again, computer is really bogged down right now, but... Oh, wow! That's pretty dang close. That might be legit. That's pretty cool. All right, I'll buy it. Pretty convincing picture, that is. So yeah, it just looks like the same pair of glasses. That's all for anyone who is listening, not watching. Adam Project Director reveals unlikely inspiration from Johnny Depp. Nope, don't care. Samuel Jackson literally calls bull poop on Jonah Hill cursing more on screen. Don't care. Chris Pratt shares Jurassic World. Don't care. Halloween Ends officially wraps production. That's noteworthy, but that's the entire importance of that article is right there in the headline, so no need to click. Chris Pine says his new spy thriller is a love story. Okay. Ryan Reynolds would love Sean Levi and Hugh Jackman for Deadpool 3. Yeah, we know he's getting at least one of those. Levy. It looks like the rest of this is unimportant. Dune Part 2 could be adding this star to its dynamic cast. Yeah, Florence Pugh, we already talked about it. Intimately detailed new The Batman collectible sculpture unmasked. Denis Villeneuve confirms he's going to make Dune Part 3 one day. Wait. So... I was right in feeling that they only did about a third of the book, if this is to be believed. Nagging sensation started to sink in, starting at the two-hour mark in Dune, as audiences realized that there was no way the director, Denis Villeneuve, could finish the story in his film alone. No kidding, that's not a secret. Sure enough, just as credits were about to roll, the movie announced that Paul's tale would continue in a sequel, so-called Dune Part 2. Currently in pre-production. Not even Part 2 will conclude the Atreides' journey from a narrative standpoint, not if the books are anything to go by. Indeed, Dune Messiah, the second novel in Frank Herbert's series, continues to chronicle the important part of the protagonist's life, and it seems that Villeneuve wants to follow suit. And after he's done with the sequel, in a recent article with Vanity Fair, the director explained how the upcoming follow-up will be more visual and less dialogue-driven. Makes sense if you've read the book. And then cheekily confirmed that he's going to take a crack at Dune Part 3 a few years down the road. And hopefully, this is the quote from Denis. Hopefully, there will be another film after that, the filmmaker wrote. Dune Messiah, Herbert's second novel in this universe, would make total sense as a third movie because it completes Paul Atreides' arc. Want to make Part 2 as fast as possible, and then I will wait a few years until Timothy Chalamet gets a bit older to do the final installment. That honestly rocks. Dune Part 2 is going to be huge, so he will get the green light to do Dune Part 3, though I would say Dune Part 3 is going to have to be over 3 hours long if that's the case. At least when Part 2, the article continues, at least when Part 2 comes out sometime in 2023, we'll go in aware that the story definitely won't end there. All right, so you've got homework. We're going to do a suggestion here in the live stream, and that is read the Dune books. At the very least, read the first three Dune books because they are great. So I think we're done with movies from We Got This Covered, because I don't care about any of this. There's really... Batman and the Joker brothers. No, they're not. Question answered. Batman director Matt Reeves discusses Taxi Driver and Year One influences on the film. Yes, those were both pretty heavy influences on that film. George R. R. Martin details all of the Game of Thrones spin-off shows currently in the works. We already have talked about that here on the channel. Nirvana song sees a 12,000% increase in streams following the Batman. Makes sense. Star Wars producer explains why Hayden Christensen didn't return as Vader for Rogue One. That's almost click-worthy, but after the last clickbait thing, we're not gonna... Nope. Watch Metal Lords trailer. Oh, there's a trailer for it now. More homework, more things to do. Go watch that trailer, because, again, live stream, we can't do it here. Just because it's too sticky to do stuff like that. Metal Lords from D.B. Weiss. Definitely going to be watching that when the stream ends. Not going to lie. It's going to Netflix. That's right. We talked about this when it was originally announced as going into production. Now there's a trailer. According to the film's synopsis, the story centers around two kids who start a metal band in high school, where exactly two kids care about metal. Needing a bassist for the lineup, they approach a girl who plays the cello. The now trio must work together to achieve ultimate high school glory by winning the battle of the band's film stars. It actor Jaden Martell, Isis Hainsworth, and Stranger Things actor Maury Bauman, Adrian Greensmith, and True Blood actor Joe Manganiello, among others. Interesting. I don't remember Manganiello being announced in the original casting. That's very interesting. Directed by Nick Norris, Infinite Place director Peter Sollett. That was made known originally. Cool. That's a lot of fun. Let's move on. John Cena voices excitement for Coyote versus Acme. Dune has returned to HBO Max. Yes, go watch it. If you haven't watched it already, you really, really, really should. Every Batman movie ranked. Don't care. That's not news. Fans leap to defend Obi-Wan Kenobi character design with top-tier memes. Does Batman hint at supervillain Bane? Yes, it does. Monsters awarding surprising rating. There we go. We already talked about it. We'll pull it up for the evidence. The Rob Zombie's upcoming adaptation of The Munsters has been awarded a PG rating, which comes as a major surprise to many fans who are familiar with the unorthodox director's previous project. FilmRatings.com has officially confirmed that the rating on its website, stating that the film will be rated PG due to, quote, macabre and suggestive material, scary images, and language. Rob Zombie typically creates more outlandish, intensity-driven films that undoubtedly require more than a PG rating. No kidding. So the news hints that Zombie has toned down his filmmaking style to obtain a softer rating. And then they tell us about the Munsters, because that's what you do when you're a journalist. Unsung supernatural thriller hitches a ride to the top of streaming charts. Don't care, DCEU fans. Wondering how Batgirl will make sense after the Flash delay. We're not really. CEO teases the MCU impact of Doctor Strange. No. Surprisingly solid horror sequel that didn't need to exist. Spooks Netflix viewers. No. Pixar employees say Disney suppresses same-sex affection in films. No. Well, maybe, because they really care about China, and China would not be happy with such things. So that there's possible argument to be made there. View the poster from the Batman China premiere. No. Shazam Fury of the Gods director reacts to early release competing with Avatar 2. I think Shazam... I think Shazam and Avatar are both going to do well. I just think Shazam, which one comes out first? Let's look that up. I guess it'll probably, hopefully, be in this article. So we'll just go straight in there. So, because they did just move Shazam. We talked about that. Give me dates. Shazam will be getting a release date of December 16th. Yes, yes. While this may be a cause for celebration for many DC fans, Sandberg couldn't help but poke fun at how the schedule change will put his superhero film against Avatar 2, with both films releasing on the same day. Oh, that's interesting. Poor James Cameron must be shaking in his boots right now, Sandberg says. That's funny. Oh, that's rough, considering the increase in ticket prices and the, I don't know. I don't know that the hype, it's so rough. Shazam did really well. The first Shazam did really well. So, but also Avatar did really well. And that's James Cameron. I don't know, man. That's a close one. I want to say they're both going to do well, but if they're both opening on the same day, do you think people are going to go to the theater twice in one weekend? I don't think so. We have crazy gas prices and crazy theater prices these days, and both of those are going to be top-tier draws, so any theater house that is charging more for a more popular movie ticket... is going to charge more for both of those. So you can probably only afford to go to one of them. Weird. Okay. Topher Grace reveals abandoned plans for Venom parody ad. Weird. All right, let's go to gaming news from We Got This Covered. So I treat We Got This Covered two different ways. One is they are, I mean, I have a couple of sources like this. They're an aggregate. They kind of group together all right, we're still good. They group together pieces because it's hard, because they have a team and I don't. I'm the only one that does my stuff. So I have to go to a couple of different sites that are aggregates, and then I can source out from there to get to the root source of any story that we talk about here on the show. But when we do the live, I really only go to a couple of the aggregates. And then if it deserves a deeper dive, then we'll dive deeper. But... by and large, they quote or they credit where they get their information from, so we don't really have to go too much deeper than them. Voice actor Charles Marionette celebrates Mario Day in best way possible. How much does it cost to buy every game on Game Pass? Not news. Gamescom goes hybrid for... oh, here we go. This is legit news. Let's open that one up. Gamescom this year is going to be both live action or in person as well as online. So European gaming convention Gamescom has announced its return in 2022, set to take place in the German city of Cologne. The event organizers announced that due to COVID-19 pandemic, this year's event will be different, as Gamescom will be an in-person and online hybrid event. According to the organizers, Gamescom has tested a hygiene and safety concept to ensure it follows current regulations and ensures high quality of stay. The event also promises additional sections, including for cosplay, retro, and indie fans. Games Managing Director Felix Falk detailed that the hybrid format event would what the hybrid format event will look like. Quote, all Gamescom fans and partners have been waiting for this for 2 years. Gamescom is finally returning to the Cologne exhibit halls, and thus also the unique festival feeling we had all been missing so much. This year we are combining the best of both worlds, our extensive digital program with the incomparable Gamescom experience on site. In the process, Gamescom is also once again setting new standards in 2022. For example, in matters of sustainability, with our Gamescom Goes Green initiative, we will make Gamescom a special and climate-friendly event together with visitors and exhibitors. We thus want to not only be a lighthouse for many initiatives for environmental protection and climate action in the international games industry, but also a pioneer for international events in general, unquote. GamesCon has been hosted on as an online event since 2020 due to ongoing pandemic. Cool. Will take place at the Colon Messe Convention Center from August 24th to 28th, with an opening night live presentation to take place on August 23rd. Cool. Awesome. We're getting back to normal. Isn't that exciting? Super Nintendo World coming to US in 2020. Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw this one in the headlines the other day as well. This has also happened since the last episode posted. Big news out of the Nintendo camp revealed just in time for Mario Day, March 10th. Universal Studios Hollywood will debut Super Nintendo World in 2023. There aren't a lot of details ride-wise, but per a Universal Studios Hollywood press release, the park promises to deliver, quote, exhilarating entertainment and innovative technology achievements inspired by characters and video games that have been that have appealed to generations of Nintendo fans for over 40 years. That's awesome. There, I believe, is not a set open date yet, but they're going to start selling Nintendo-themed merchandise very soon, and as such, Mario and Luigi-themed apparel and iconic character hats, also a selection of plush characters including Yoshi, Mario, Bowser, and Luigi in a variety of sizes. Cool. So yeah, Japan is not the only place to go to Super Mario World. Best Souls game bosses ranked. Don't care. Dino Crisis fans feel like Capcom is playing a cruel joke on them. Don't care. Silent Hill trends yet again in advance of Sony's State of Play tomorrow thanks to a hoax. Half of Elden Ring players haven't even beaten the first boss. That's funny. That's from a couple of extra days ago. All right, so that's it there. Let's go here. Harold and the Purple Crayon. Beloved children's book, Harold and the Purple Crayon, coming to Broadway. Okay. Mike Myers joins Instagram, instantly begins teasing his mysterious new Netflix series, The Pentaveret. It's going to be great. It's going to be hilarious because I want it to be. Anyway. Strange Things producer teases his long awaited fourth season. We already know what's happening. That's not news. Obi-Wan Kenobi fan art fixes Grand Inquisitor's live action look. Boys confirms season 3 trailer is coming tomorrow. So if you're listening to this in post or watching the VOD, then you should be able to go watch a new Boys trailer. Otherwise, we're going to talk about it in the next proper episode of the week in Nerddom. Bum, Heidi Montag, blah, blah, blah. Critics applaud Samuel L. Jackson. Jeffrey D. Morgan says Isle of Dead will reinvent the franchise, huh? Oscar Isaac. The Boys. Oh, that's The Boys college set. Loses both lead stars. Let's dig into this one. Okay, so the college-based spinoff of Amazon Prime Video's hit superhero series, The Boys, has lost two of its lead stars. Amy Carrero and Shane Paul McGee have exited the show. According to Deadline, the exit was brought about by a, quote, variety of factors, unquote, which includes the months it took for the spinoff to begin production and the changes in the original version of the cast had signed up for. Naturally, with such a long wait time, other acting opportunities would have presented themselves for the cast, who have been on board with the upcoming show for over a year now. Carrero has moved on to other projects in the meantime. Since being initially cast in the spinoff, she snagged a recurring role in Paramount Plus's limited series The Offer and has joined the cast of the upcoming dark comedy The Consultant as a series regular, starring alongside Christopher Waltz. Isn't that supposed to be Christoph Waltz? Anyway, Nat Wolff and Brittany O'Grady. I don't know who that is. Brady O'Grady sounds better. The untitled spinoff is set in America's only college for young adult superheroes and is run by Vought International. Now they're just going to tell us everything we already know about the series that these two have just left. I think it's interesting that in the picture they chose of her, she kind of looks like Jubilee from the X-Men, but okay. Someone remade the Peacemaker intro using Lego animation. That's hilarious. Bum 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 bum. Don't care, don't care. None of this is actual entertainment news. Why did Rory and Dean break up in the Gilmore Girls? Not news. Watch the show. Find out for yourself. 10 best cold open. This is also not news. Nick Cannon's talk show gets axed because it's Nick Cannon. Why are we surprised at this? Why does Billy save 11 in Stranger Things? Watch new Moon Knight feature. It hypes up one of a kind Marvel series. I'm super, super excited about that. Internet celebrates Buffy the Vampire Slayer turning 25. I am old. Watch Bob Odenkirk evoke Megan Thee Stallion's WAP while giving an improvised TED Talk on how to eat bananas. That's funny. Bob Odenkirk is funny. Bum, 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 bum. Nothing. 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 Pete Davidson set to star as himself in new comedy series. Way to stretch those acting skills there, Pete. Bum. Nothing. All right, we're gonna check out. I'm gonna go to. We haven't checked this one out in a live stream yet. Let's check out Bounding. Bounding into comics. Jussie Smollett. Not something that I expected Bounding to cut. Well, I guess I should have expected them to. Disney CEO Bob Chapek fully aligns company. Don't care. YouTube removes full send podcast episode with Donald Trump after it reaches 5 million views in 24 hours. Interesting. J.K. Rowling stands her ground as transgender activists attack her opinion that biological men self-identify. Don't care. Quantum Leap reboot announces principal cast. We've already talked about that. Seinfeld's 10 most politically incorrect episodes ranked. Funny. Red Sonja film reportedly loses star Hannah John Kamen, director Joey Soloway. Okay. I'm a director Matt Reeves provides detail on deleted Joker scene, dives into his idea of the Joker. I guess we can touch on that. That'll give us some context going forward. So let's open this one up. All right, so we don't even know what the plans are for this next iteration, as with the rest of the Batman's universe, but with the mystery Arkham inmate ID'd as the Joker is already being contextualized and compared to others in the past. Matt Reeves leads the charge there. In a new interview with IGN, the director explained that his crown prince of crime is one who hasn't found his inner sadistic prankster. A Joker who isn't Joker yet, so he isn't fully formed like Heath Ledger was. Which I think is a fun area to attack with Joker, because not a lot of writers do that. Reeves detailed, what's interesting is that the reason that the Joker's in the movie is there was actually another scene that was earlier. And because the movie is not an origin tale for the Batman, but it's his early days, it really is an origin tale for the Rogues Gallery of characters. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. he added, and for me, I think it's the idea that the Joker is not yet the Joker, but they already have this relationship. So it's a long Halloween-ish kind of relationship where he's consulting with him. Scene that was not in the movie, Reeves continues. The scene that this is really a companion to, which is actually a really cool scene that we will release at some point. It's a scene where Batman is so unnerved because the Riddler is writing to him, and he's like, "Well, why is this guy writing to me?" And he figures he's got to profile this killer. He goes to see another killer that he's clearly had an experience with in these first 2 years, and this killer in this story is not yet the character that we come to know, right? So everybody's in their infancy. So in the comics, these characters often declare their alter egos in response to the fact that there's a Batman out there, Reeves elaborated. And so here we have a Joker who's not yet the Joker. Which I hope is where they explore that character in the next movie. But I also hope that he's not the primary antagonist of the next movie. Reeves also promised that we will see how the insane mastermind played by Barry Keoghan looks in his face paint very soon. Sorry. In the scene that you'll see in the future, you'll see that we worked on what he looked like, Reeves said, and he's held in this very suspenseful way away from you visually. So again, very much like we saw him in Long Halloween. For inspiration, Reeves went back to the same well that Bob Kane and Bill Finger drew from, Conrad Veidt's portrayal of Victor Hugo's tragic hero Gwynplaine in The Man Who Laughs. But I wanted to create an iteration of him that felt distinctive but new, but went right back to the roots, Reeves continues. So he's very much out of the Conrad Veidt mold. And that idea of the silent film, The Man Who Laughs, far from restricting his influence into the silent era, Reeves looked to David Lynch and real life. Interesting. As truth is stranger than fiction, and the world is full of unorthodox conditions that affect facial expressions, or like Arthur Fleck, generate fits of laughter. I like that. Congenital disease, you can never stop smiling. And it made Mike and I think about, I was talking about The Elephant Man because I love David Lynch. I was like, well, maybe there's something here where it's not something where he fell in a vat of chemicals, or it's not like the Nolan thing where he has these scars and we don't know where they came from. What if this is something that he's been touched by from birth, and that he has a congenital disease that refuses to let him stop smiling? And he's mad. Or he's had this very dark reaction to it, and he's had to spend a life of people looking at him in a certain way, and he knows how to get in your head. That is such an interesting play with this character. So it's the idea of him being very incisive and brilliant, being able to get in your mind, and basically having this nihilistic point of view. It's like from his inception, from his birth, life has been a cruel joke to him, and this is his response. That's kind of a combination of Heath Ledger's Joker as well as Arthur Fleck, Joaquin Phoenix Joker. Whoa, I almost forgot words. Continuing on. It's a cruel joke to him. And this is his response. And eventually he's going to declare himself as a clown and declare himself as the Joker, Reeves said. And that was the idea. So yeah, that's a lot of fun. But I think we are at our switching point. So let's switch over. Chat. Oh no. Dang it. Hold that thought. This is going to be an interesting swap. Okay, so let's start that back up. Cool. All right, now we're going to go back to the chat. All right, so those of you listening in post, this is the end of the audio portion of the episode. We will be switching over to gaming now. So if you want to catch that in post, then you can go check it out on the Generally Nerdy page on YouTube or Generally Nerdy Gaming on Facebook. That being said, thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. We will see you in the next one later this week and in the Batman review sometime soon, whenever I can get that finished. All of these things are happening, and I'm rambling at this point. So thank you very much, nerds. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here. And those of you who are here live, thank you for joining. We will be taking a couple minutes between sessions and coming back to play some Splitgate and or Halo. So I have a little bit of troubleshooting to do, and we'll see you in a minute.